In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon him. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. Amen. Lord be with you. And let us pray. O Lord, we pray thee that thy grace may always go before us and follow after us and make us continually to be given to all good works. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Confessional reading this morning is continuing with the Lord's Prayer, the confessional reading from Luther's Small Catechism. As the head of the family should teach them, in a simple way, to his household. The fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? God gives daily bread indeed without our prayer, also to all the wicked. But we pray in this petition that he would lead us to know it and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. What is meant by daily bread? Everything that belongs to the support and the wants of the body, such as food and drink and clothing and shoes, house, home, cattle field, money and goods, a pious spouse, pious children, pious servants, pious and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, discipline, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. So far, the confessional reading. This morning's Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 39 and 40. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal. And neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to the heavens, and I say, I live forever. So far, the Old Testament. This morning's epistle, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 13 to 21. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is to your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all things that we ask or think, according to the power, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. There is a computer glitch. It's not Matthew 6, but it's Luke 7, verses 11 through 17. Glory be to thee, O Lord. And it came to pass the day after that Jesus went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when Jesus came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, that is, the coffin. And they that bare him stood still. And then he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And then Jesus delivered him to his mother, and there came fear on all. But they glorified God, saying, That a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. So far. We confess our faith according to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds,
God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is glorified and worshipped, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sin, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with our sermon hymn. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace from our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
My sermon theme for this morning is preparation for death. And it's based upon the gospel reading, Luke chapter 7. And I would like to read verse 12. Now when Jesus came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. So far, please be seated. This morning's gospel tells us two things. The one is quite common. The other is very uncommon. The first is he carrying out a corpse to the burial ground. But this was nothing new at Nain. It's nothing new for us today as well. We know that we all must someday die. The uncommon occurrence is that this particular corpse did not, at least not at this time, reach its final resting place. At the city gates, the mourners were met by one who called a halt to the funeral procession. And he first went up to the weeping mother and he said, "Weep not." And then he touched the stretcher on which the corpse was being carried and said to the dead body, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead came to life, sat up, and began to speak. What had begun to be a procession of sadness was now changed into one of joy. For he that was dead now lived. And the people were filled with amazement, and they asked, "Who is this man who could restore the dead back to life again?" Well, we know who this man is. He is one whom St. John writes, "In him was life. The life was the light of men." And yes, we all someday must die. But Jesus Christ came to be our life in death and our light in darkness. And because we all must die one day, and since there is only one who can save us in death and from death, we should keep these two facts in mind and recall them frequently. You see, the fear of death is common to all. Let a person be fearless in all manner of situations, but in death, well, in death, there is fear. Death is such a terrible thing because it is the just punishment pronounced by God upon disobedient people. Death, however, did not originate with God. Of their own free will, Adam and Eve gave in to the voice of the devil, the tempter, and they sinned against God. They sinned against God's commandments. And through sin, death came into this world. God said, "In that day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die." Death is in the world. And no skill, no power of man can change it. It's here to stay. So get ready. The real question, therefore, is not how do we do away with death? But the real question is, how do we meet it properly? To properly prepare for death, we must, first of all, remember it and not think that it's something that happens to the other person, because it will happen to us someday as well. So many people think that if we live right, we shall be able to die right. And that sounds good. The problem is it doesn't work. Before God, we are all an unclean thing. The fact that we must die is proof that we are sinners
and that our righteousness counts for absolutely nothing, another righteousness is necessary. We must be able to say concerning Christ, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. What Jesus did at Nain indicates clearly that he came to deliver us from death, both the fear of death, the fear of temporal death, and the terror of eternal death. The whole deliverance which Jesus Christ came to accomplish centers in the taking away of our sins. We know that. And when sin is removed, the law has no power to condemn. Where sin is removed, death has lost its sting, its fear, and its power. Christ, therefore, took on himself all of our sins. And dying on the cross, he suffered the punishment pronounced on them by the law, God's law. But now his victory is ours. His victory is ours because he was our substitute. He is our Savior. St. Paul reminds us, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, not sometime in the future, but now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The Christian faith looks upon death as the doorway to a new and better life. And as we look at the world today with all of its fighting and fears, we become more fully aware that we may be hurled into eternity the snap of a finger. And the moment of death decides our eternal destiny. We should always be ready for the moment of death. And if death should come more slowly through some kind of an illness, it is then that Satan will try his best because it's his last chance to capture the soul. And he uses every means to shake our faith and to draw us away from the promises of the Word of God. And he will bring back to memory sins committed years ago. And he will pile sin upon sin. And then he will whisper, how can you believe that God forgave all of these sins? Especially this particular one. And he will remind us of this particular one too. It's time for us to struggle, of course, and that we should now be getting ready for our death. You don't like to talk about it, but it's going to happen. Let us put on the whole armor of God, taking on the shield of faith, where we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And recall those wonderful words Christ spoke to Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall what? Never die. And we should not only remember those words, but also lean on those words. Believe those words. So when our Lord asks us someday, which he probably will, do you believe this? Well, we can answer, yes, Lord. You have the words of eternal life. And so we shall be with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life, heaven. Amen. Take no. Is my mic working? Okay. Pray for our communicants, but I'm sure that all of us have a personal prayer that we would like to extend to the throne of God. Let's take a moment to do that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and give rest unto their souls, we pray. Let us this morning experience your love of the heavenly feast that you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief, so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all the places at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated.
Holy.
We continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, who with thine only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost are one God and one Lord. And in the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity and substance of majesty coequal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You would betray took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This is for the forgiveness of sins. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
true body
of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Give him unto death for the forgiveness of your sins. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Give him unto death for the forgiveness. Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins.
May this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was given to death for the forgiveness of our sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen. Take, eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of your sins. Take.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy.
We give thanks to the Almighty God that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy, that you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Blessed be the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.
Let me hide myself in. Jesus.